Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And this is June 11th, 2024, and I have a guest today, my Mo, and I say my Mo, I don't know why I say my Mo, but he's, you know, we have done this show together once a month for, I don't know, years, maybe a decade. And I just think he is so incredible and amazing. He has such a perspective. And of course, he brings a perspective from Vedic astrology, which is a little bit different than Western astrology. And he knows the tarot, obviously, upside down, backwards, forwards, etc. So he always has some good things about the tarot. And he knows a little bit about just everything, which I really appreciate because inevitably, as we do this show, I get introduced to something that either I didn't know anything about, or something I want to check out and get more information about. You know, it's always what I call provocative. And truthfully, I like provocative. Must be my moon in Aquarius, but I like to be provoked into looking at new things or at looking at things from a different perspective. So Mo is my guest today. He is going to join me in just a few minutes. But before we get there, I want to announce that today is the 11th, so that makes tomorrow the 12th of the month, which you know is a very special day in our world. Everything is 12, 1-2. We do have sales and discount prices on everything on 1-2listen.com. And the people that teach classes over at 1-2 Academy often put their classes on sale for the day as well. So you might want to check that out. So please come find me and all the other brilliant people on 1-2listen tomorrow. And you know, if you don't want a reading and you say, hey, this isn't the timing for me, well, guess what? There's almost always discounts on time-based sessions. Now remember, those time-based sessions, they're discounted anyway. That's your way to make a coupon for yourself or a sale because you buy a set number of minutes at a discount price. But on 12-day, then they're almost always discounted even further. So I'll have one of those up there for you. And so if you want to buy that, you can use that anytime you want. You know, it's good forever. And I shouldn't say forever, but so far they seem to be good forever. You know, they don't ever expire. So that's enough about that. But tomorrow is 12th day. And truthfully, it kind of snuck up on me this year. I don't know exactly how, but I was looking this week and I went, 12th day already? It just kind of snuck up on me. So if it's sneaking up on you too, and you're one of those people you are waiting for some of the sales on 12th day, well, it is tomorrow, which is Wednesday the 12th. Okay, now I am going to talk just for a few minutes about some of the things going on this week. This is the week of June 10th in terms of the power peak, and I hope you read Mark's power peak. It not only has that day-by-day description of everything going on astrologically, but Mo writes an article, as do a number of my other colleagues, and I really hope you tune into that. It's a free newsletter, of course, that you can subscribe to. But as you look at that particular, you know, this week and what's going on, you know, I've been telling you up front, you know, I come up with themes or words for the week. Well, this week, the word is clarity. But here's a little description. I know this sounds funny, but I ran across this week. And it's a phrase that I haven't heard in a long time, but I love it. And it's that dog won't hunt. And I'm sure you guys all know what that means. And I know probably already you're scratching your heads going, what does that have to do with clarity? Well, I think it has to do with some of the things going on this week that, you know, even challenges or even when something happens and we go, ooh, you know, this feels a little icky or I don't like this. It's not fitting together. Well, the truth is that gives us the opportunity to get more clarity in our lives. And I love the phrase, that dog won't hunt, because maybe that's one of the better ways of saying, you know, we keep, in a sense, beating our heads against the wall, or we just keep going after something, or we just keep using the same strategy over and over and over, and it's not working. And so when I saw that phrase this week, I just laughed out loud. I said, boy, if that isn't the truth, that dog won't hunt. So that's something I want you to keep in mind this week, because as we hit some of these little glitches or, you know, just the inevitable things that come up in a week, maybe that's the message. You know, it's time to move on. It's time to do something a little bit different. So what is going on this week that I think are the highlights? Three different planets, three planets in Gemini, because we have all those planets in Gemini, they are all going to make positive connections to Chiron, the wounded healer, which is sitting over in Aries. So Venus is the first one, and it happened shortly after midnight last night. So technically Tuesday morning, this morning, Venus made a sextile connection. The Sun in Gemini is going to make the same connection tomorrow on Wednesday. And Mercury in Gemini is also going to make that connection on Thursday. So once again, as we look at, you know, kind of the week ahead, as we just look at patterns, three planets in a row, those Gemini planets just sequentially, boom, 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 they're all making connections with Chiron. And I consider that like a really great opportunity. And it's a sweet opportunity or a gentle opportunity because these are sextiles. They're positive connections. So when something comes up, you know, that Chiron is, in fact, I want to remind you, one of the people who writes about Chiron that I really like is Martin Lass, L-A-S-S. And he says, Chiron shows us where our deepest spiritual and emotional wounds lie and the keys or the path to the healing process. Now, Chiron is currently in Aries, which can evoke feelings. Sometimes they're mild, sometimes they're more profound, sometimes they're intense, but feelings of being undeserving or unworthy, because Aries is that fire energy. I'm Jason in the Argonauts. I'm going out, I'm challenging something. You know, I've got to get out there and do something. I've got to tackle the world. I've got to conquer the world, whatever it is. So what happens with Chiron in Aries, which by the way, Chiron spends more time in Aries than in any other sign. Now, I can't tell you exactly why, other than Chiron has a very unusual orbit. So it doesn't spend the same amount of time in each of the signs. And it spends more time in Aries than any other sign, and less time in Libra than in any other sign. So, and we're all going through this together. We weren't necessarily born with Aries Chirons, but we're all going through it together right now. So when we have those opportunities, you know, when anything happens that all of a sudden, you know, sometimes you call it a psychic whack, or it's just like this little pinch where you feel unsure of yourself, a lack of confidence, or, oh my gosh, I'm not deserving like other people are, or I'm not whole, I need to be fixed, or any of that kind of thing. And it can just be the slightest thing, something that happens that just provokes that kind of energy. Well, this week, I think all three of those planets give us the chance to, number one, look at that and go, really? I mean, really, is that true? Because it's not true. And it gives us the chance to kind of look at that and revamp or reinterpret and get a new perspective on some of those energies. But there's also some other challenges coming up this week. And I consider those Chiron connections positive. But the challenges, one of them is going on this morning, and that is Mars square Pluto. And that is a very strong, intense energy that can create all kinds of power struggles. Because Mars is our personal will. And these are some of the things maybe Mo will address as, you know, I'm hoping he's kind of thinking in the background and like, what are the things he wants to talk about and which of these things really pop out at him. But certainly Mars, it's our personal will. But Pluto is more of a generational or a group energy. And it's strong. It's the force for transformation and change. Well, when Mars, our personal willpower, isn't in the same place or it's conflicting with Pluto, we can very much see that as, oh my gosh, either the world is against me or I have to just, you know, just push, push, push. I have to win at all costs. I will do almost anything to make this true or to win whatever this is. So keep that in mind, because there's this natural push to dominate something. And once again, it may not even be something that is really that important to you, but you find that people are getting really, really intense about something and you don't even know why. Well, maybe it is that Mars square Pluto. So just like, you know, I almost want to say protect yourself, but when I say protect yourself, what I'm really saying is be aware. Be aware that people may be a little bit more intense than usual. And there again, if you really push them, like, what is going on here? Why is this so important to you? They may not even be able to tell you. It may just be as simple as, I'm just tired of people pushing me around. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. And so, you know, even a simple thing like, hand me a napkin, all of a sudden creates a fight, creates a disagreement. So just recognize that if that happens, you know, A Course in Miracles says you're never upset for the reason you think. And that would be pretty clear for today, that we're, you know, there's some hidden things, some things in our psyches, or some things that we're really upset about, and we're not willing to admit them or talk about them. So then when somebody does the slightest thing, all of a sudden we're all up in arms. So keep that in mind. And then tomorrow on Wednesday, Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, squares Saturn, the planet of authority. So it's a similar kind of wave of energy coming at us, where maybe we feel like no matter what we say, it's the wrong thing. Nobody's listening, or nobody is paying attention to us, or nobody is thinking that we're an authority. But this is an opportunity, once again, to kind of check some things out. You know, when you hit that stumbling block, then just stop and look at the situation. Are you pushing in the right direction? You know, are you really doing something that's worthwhile or not? Or just notice that maybe, once again, people are feeling unheard. Something's going on here. So Mercury square Saturn can also be a tough energy, but it can also be a really good time to change your opinion about something. You know, let some new information in. Then on Sunday, Venus, the planet of values and love and money and all that, it squares Neptune. Neptune is a planet of dreams. It's the planet of transcendence. It operates on a whole other level than the material world. And when Venus squares Neptune, sometimes it can be a beautiful thing, because it's almost like we are lost in our daydreams. We are lost in a romantic phase, you know, or a romantic haze. And so it can feel really good, but then all of a sudden you wake up and you smell the coffee and you say, what was I thinking? So I would say on Sunday, be very, very careful of investments. You know, anything that has to do with money, because you might be building some case for something and just recognize, oh my gosh, you were wearing the rose-colored glasses and you got all swept up in that energy. So that is true for love and money. You know, just remember that you might be paying a lot more attention to a dream state than what the reality is. And yet, I would be one that would argue, which one is really real? Maybe the dream is more real than what we consider the real world to be. So once again, there is no good or bad in this, but just be aware you may be under the influence on Sunday of Neptune. And remember that squares are associated with opportunities to make meaningful change and adjustments. That's what those squares are for. They're not there to make your life miserable. They are there so that you can see what, you know, this or that. You can make some comparisons of pros and cons and tweak something that's going on for you. Squares are opportunities to make changes and adjustments. And then the last thing I'll just point out to you, but we'll talk about it next week on the show, is Venus is moving into Cancer. But that's going to happen late next Sunday night. So it really does belong in the following week, not this week. Also, Mercury will change signs the next day on Monday. So that's a week from now, and we will talk about that on the show next week, but just be advised, this is the last week of both Mercury and Venus in Gemini. Then it goes into that very home-loving, nurturing sign of Cancer. So that's the week and a wrap. So let's get Mo on and see what he's thinking, what's coming out of Mo's mind. So good morning, Mo. Thanks for being with me today.
Good morning. Yes, of course. I love being here. Thank you.
You are welcome. So in all of these things that I was talking about and or what's, you know, things that are going on for you. And I'd also like, I think it's okay if I say this. Mo told me just this weekend that he is writing a novel.
I am.
And I think, once again, it's so funny. It's so funny astrologically, because we've got all these planets in Gemini, which is the sign of the writer, you know, the sign, you know, ruled by Mercury. And if there's, ever a really good time to write, it would probably be when there's Virgo energy or maybe Sagittarius energy, but also that Gemini energy. And even Jupiter, the planet of expansion and luck in the Western system, is in Gemini. We've got this plethora of Gemini energy. And you say, hey, I think I'll write a novel.
Right.
And so I just laughed when I read that.
Yeah, it just, it's one of those things. I hadn't been planning on it. It wasn't something that I thought I would do. And in the Vedic system, we've got Jupiter, Mercury, the Sun, and Venus all in Taurus. In the late stages, we've got Venus, the Sun, and Mercury in the late degrees of Taurus, and Jupiter just at 9 degrees. So they're going to be there and there for a while, but Jupiter will be alone in Taurus for quite a while. And so that's also, I mean, that just makes sense because Taurus is my sign. So, And so it just kind of popped into my head, oh, it's time to write a story. But I'm finding that it's going to be a metaphysical story. And I guess that's just one of those things, it's going to have to be that way. So, because that's where I dwell mentally. So.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wanted to ask you, because when I read that also, I thought, well, surely this isn't the first novel. But then I started thinking about most of the things that you write aren't novels. I mean, they are about the tarot cards or astrology or, something esoteric, metaphysic.
It definitely is already about all of that. And I'm actually writing it about, I guess I can tip the hand and tell you what it's called. It's called Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade.
Nice.
So I'm writing it named after the radio show, but it's also not just about the radio show. It's about the arcade itself. So it's taking on a very strange sort of, because in my head, the Penny Arcade is real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, it's not a radio show at all. It's a place. And I don't know, in the beginning, the show was a place, and then it turned into just kind of a talk thing. And it may go back to the place itself, but the show, I've written not that much, but in my head, there is this vast amount of material that has developed. And so I'm having a hard time moving it from my head onto paper. You know how that is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And but it's developed. I mean, there's this amazing. There's some wonderful things that are happening in my head. So it's just a matter of kind of winnowing it down. And for example, this, it's like, wow, what's happening here? It's entire philosophies and theories about things, and this whole thing about names. Of how powerful just our names are and how important it is that we, for example, I invented this thing called the Sock Monkey Oracle,
mm-hmm.
Which was just frivolous as could be because I happen to have a sock monkey. And so which my wife gave me years ago, because I said, I've always wanted one of those things. So she ordered me a sock monkey. And so on the show, I had the Sock Monkey Oracle, and it was just fun to do. But it turned into so much more in my head as far as the book goes. And so this whole mythology came around the Sock Monkey Oracle and why there's no name attached to it and the power of names and the ancient Egyptian god Ptah and what that name means and how powerful names are and why names are not given to things and why some names are not given in the out, and just blah, 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 blah. And it's turned into this really powerful, I think, a metaphysical story,
mm-hmm.
as to why in the afterlife, they're very, why when someone comes through, they don't really want to give you their real name. And it makes perfect sense to me. And I think, exactly now, where is this coming?
Mm-hmm.
And I realize a lot of it is just from a lifetime of study. That has had time to ferment, if you will.
Right.
And so this could be something. This could be kind of something. So we'll
yeah.
see.
Now, I want to go back to something you just said, which is why people in the afterlife don't give you their real names. Are you saying that you find that to be true?
Yes. Oh, yes. The ancient Egyptians were quite to the point. For example, the ancient Egyptians had a term for those who have passed, and that is true of voice. And they believed that the dead can never lie. And I like that. They can never lie. And Shakespeare used that in his plays. The dead never lie. They always tell the truth. Now, they may tell the truth in such a way that it can be terribly misconstrued, you know, but that's our fault, right? That's not theirs.
Yeah.
Because we see what we want to see. We hear what we want to hear. But for instance, oh, I like that, for instance.
Yeah.
I'll have to use that somehow. In the movie Poltergeist, one of my favorite little thoughts there is that when the first contact that the poor little girl makes, poor little girl, I say that because she didn't live very long after the movie, I don't think, is that...
She died very tragically, like from some kind of rupture in her stomach or something. I mean, she had surgery, but she died, I think, during surgery.
That's right. And then so did Dominique Dunn, who was in the movie, you know, played the daughter. And I don't think the little boy made it either. It was a very strange...
That is odd. I didn't know that about... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just is, you know, and of course, the rest of them, I think, were okay. But
anyway, what were you saying about Poltergeist?
The first contact is they give their name, the collective give their name to the little girl as Captain Howdy. No, Captain Howdy was with the Exorcist, right? But they give a name to the little girl that is false, too. And that's a common thread. These little concept of creatures, they, you know, demons, we call them demons, but, you know, I made a, pardon me, I wrote a kind of a weird article, I guess, this last week, and I mentioned that Aleister Crowley was not a Satanist, and I made a comment that might have irritated some people, but that he would rather have believed, he was more likely to believe in the Tooth Fairy than Satan. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
He did not believe in Satan. And that's because he did not buy into that, I'm going to use the term mythology.
Right.
Because he did not buy into the Christian mythology. And a lot of people get upset when I use terms like that, but that's because it's what he considered it to be. And I think that we have to just kind of be okay with that concept because he studied all different religions. Pardon me, I'm going to mute myself and clear my throat. I don't think anyone needs to hear that. I'm back and I'm much clearer now.
All right.
So, but the idea is that we have this idea of these different, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but we were able to look at ancient Egyptian mythology and say it's a mythology, and we're able to look at other cultures. But for example, the Egyptians had a nine part of you know, like humans were made of nine different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one is the body, the coarse body itself, which they call the chat, and that was the thing that rotted. And so they had to perfect that, and then that turned into something known as a sahu. But it also, you had the ka, and you had the ba, and that was the basically the id and the ego, you know. And then, but all these things were echoed in other cultures. There was one thing known as the hu, which was the what we might call the aura. Which also could be called the glory in Christianity, you know, the glowing body. And it's echoed throughout other cultures throughout time. And so, but we have a tendency to call these things mythologies. And yet, when it comes to our culture, we call it religion. And so what happens to metaphysicians, to metaphysical people who study the occult. We call it the occult. It just means hidden. But we look at these things and we say, everyone else is a mythology, and everyone else is, you know, it's Odin and Loki and Thor and whatever, whatever. But when you come to us, we can't talk about it in the concept of a mythology, right?
Right.
And so we become very offended and so on, and it gets, you can't really talk about it. And it can be very dangerous in our culture to make such claims. But what I'm saying is that we have to be a little more open-minded if we're going to get to some sort of truth. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's risky.
Yes.
But,
I was just going to say, this is a perfect conversation for Mars square Pluto and for Mercury moving into a square with Saturn. And what it brings up, because it's provocative, and it's exactly what you're saying. You know, you can talk about all these things, or people, when I talk about astrology, all of a sudden that's all mythological and made up. And then they tell me some crazy religious story.
Right.
And I'm like, right. I just want to go, and you think that makes more sense than what I just told you was mythology and astrology? And it always kind of amazes me. But the other thing it reminds me of is, you know, I was raised Catholic, and my parents were very Catholic. You know, we went to, you know, we went to, I mean, I was into the Catholicism until my early 20s, went to Mass every single week. Even as a child, I went to Mass often, like almost every day of the week, you know, as a grade school kid. But the one thing that was true, you know, and we're steeped in religion. I mean, it was an hour of classes every day at least. But if you ask a question, you got in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And when you say the Satan thing, that was one of the first things that I was like, well, but this doesn't make sense. The whole satanic thing doesn't, I mean, and it never made sense to me from a Christian Catholic point of view, that if God is this all, you know, amazing being, how could he have an opposite?
Right.
And
right.
They would tell you, well, it was a fallen angel. And I'm like, so are you saying the angels are equal to God? I mean, and so I remember as a 6 or 7 year old, you know, and I mean, I learned very quickly, you don't ask the nuns these questions. Because you do not, you know, you're punished if you do. But I remember right off the bat, I loved it. I mean, on one hand, I wasn't trying to knock it. I loved it. I just assumed this is, you know, it saves your life, you know, being hooked into this religion. But I wanted it to make sense. And when it didn't, that was really bothersome to me. Even as a kid, it's like, I want this to make sense. But we tend to sweep those things under the carpet instead of just saying, yeah, let's explore this. Let's talk about this. Why do we believe this is true?
When I was 5 years old, five, my mother decided that I needed some instruction on such things. And so she told me the story of Moses leaving Egypt. And we're Egyptians, you know. And so she told me about, you know, Pharaoh and all that stuff, and how he left and the parting of the Red Sea. And I don't think it was big on the plague and, you know, the plagues and the Gittah and all the 10 things. And but parting the Red Sea and going up on the mountain and all that sort of thing and coming down, and there were miracles. And I said, do you believe that? And she said, yes. And I said, how do you believe that? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, obviously that's a fairy tale. And it's like Snow White. It's like Red Riding Hood. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, if you believe that, then you're silly. And she slapped me in the face. And I was furious. I said, you can't believe these stories, you know. And she told me about Jesus and, you know, and in Islam, it's completely different, you know, because my parents were Muslim. It's not, Jesus was not crucified. He was replaced on the cross and ascended to heaven, you know, miraculously by God. That's what the Muslims believe. And I said, these stories are ridiculous. And I, you know, because I really had not been, you know, we were, there were Muslims in a Christian land. They didn't, you know, indoctrinate me at an early age. And I challenged everything she said. So she was just outraged by my challenging her. This was not expected in her mind, you know? But I had heard fairy tales and I knew that they weren't true. And this is what I got from her. And my dad came home, he said, don't do this, you know, don't. I said, but Dad, these are silly stories. He said, and he was a fairly religious man, but he said, some stories you have to simply accept as, you know, it's called faith and it's belief. And I said, but they're stupid, is what I said. And he said, don't do this. Just you'll learn that some things you just simply accept. I said, how can you do that? And he said, well, just be a little more accepting of things, or at least quiet about
quiet them. Yeah, quiet.
And he was a wonderful guy, you know, but I thought, wait, this makes no sense to me. And
yes.
I have lived in a society where things have made no sense to me, and that is the nature of what we call the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Where you stand around and you realize that you have to be, there are certain things that you have to be hidden about, where you have to be quiet about. And like you, you know, that's why I love Paradise Lost so much by John Milton, because he lays it out, the whole thing about Satan, the whole thing about God, how Satan is beautiful. Satan is God's most beloved angel. And because of pride, he loses that place, you know. He is thrown out of heaven because Satan says, you know, it's not Satan, he's Lucifer, the bearer of light. And he has this, and it really isn't, it is pride, but God says, here is my most beautiful creation, man. Man, look at him. Everyone must now bow to Adam. And Lucifer says, I'm not bowing to this thing. This thing is the most beautiful creation. I thought the more earth was. I thought we were. Look at this thing. This thing has free. He's going to betray you. You know he's going to betray you. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And God says, I've told you to bow to him. And he says, I'm not bowing to this thing. He said, then I will cast you out because you're betraying. You're disobeying me. He said, I refuse, and I will spend the rest of eternity proving to you that he is unworthy of this honor that you give him. He said, I love you so much that I will spend the rest of eternity proving how much I love you and that he's not worthy. And that's the real story, according to Milton, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that made sense, you know?
Yeah. Well,
so he casts him out, and so it's really like, wow, what a story. It's a, you know, but that's not the one everyone chooses to deal with, you know.
Right. Well, and I don't know if I ever told you this. It happened, well, now I guess maybe 10 years ago. I have twin nephews who had started going to school, I think first grade, and their parents, even though they were not Lutheran, had decided that the Lutheran school was academically much better than some of the other schools in the area, so they decided to send him to a Lutheran school. So of course they got fairly steeped in Christian mythology, and mm-hmm. which was fine. I mean, although my brother and sister-in-law are not, but it was fine. But one day, you know, inevitably one of them comes home and he's all upset because all the kids at school are talking about how there is no Santa Claus. And he's like, okay, we're going to get this straight. So just sit down. You know, he sits down with his mom and, you know, I want to know the truth. And so she says, you know, she tells him, yeah, that's right. There really is no Santa Claus. It's me and your dad. And he's like, oh my God. So you mean you buy all those gifts, you put them in the closets, you wrap them all up, and you have this whole, you know, deception, you know, around this Santa Claus. And she goes, yeah. And he goes, that's pretty impressive, you know, and which surprised her. But then this is what's amazing to me. He goes, okay, so next. So is there no Easter Bunny either?
Yeah.
You know, and she goes, no, there's no Easter Bunny. And then he kind of goes down the list, including, well, what about the Tooth Fairy? You know, there's no tooth fairy. And then in their house, she is Irish and so, or Scottish actually. And they have all these things they do at the house, like for St. Patrick's Day. Like she puts green dye in the toilets and all these little things happen around the house because the leprechauns have come, you know. And so he's like, well, what about that? And she goes, yeah, that's me too, you know. So then he's like, he's just kind of in this exasperated state of, oh my God, you know, you've just been fooling me with all these stories, all these, you know, 6 years or whatever. But then finally he goes, and what about Jesus? Did you make him up too? And you know, and when I heard that, I thought, oh my God, because I've never heard a child put Jesus or Christianity or God in the same genre with Santa
That's
Claus, the
wonderful.
Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy. But I thought, I'm surprised we haven't done that before because that's what, in some ways, it feels like. You know, it's like, is the religion that we kind of start clinging to nothing more than Santa Claus for an adult? We have to believe in this good presence. We just have to. We have to have a mythology around it.
Well, and I have nothing against religion in its purest form, you know. But it has been abused and used for abuse in so many ways. Especially things like prosperity churches, you know, which have made so many people so much money, and not the people on the bottom rung. I just find it so abhorrent. But that's a different story.
Well, but there again, going back to Santa Claus. I mean, look what we do with Santa Claus. You better watch out because he's watching you and he knows what you're doing. And if you're not good, then you're not going to get the right presents at Christmas. I mean, we use all those kinds of mythologies to try to shape and manipulate behavior, don't we?
Yeah.
You know?
Now I used the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and things like that to propagate the concept of magic in my house. You know, I used to take carrots, and I would take the carrot, and I would take tiny little bites out of the carrot. You know, it would take a long time, but I would take tiny little bites because I wanted the kids to believe that an
A
actual
bunny,
rabbit had been there. And so one year, when the kids finally caught on, I remember my daughter, she said, "But Daddy, these are tiny little bites around here." And I wasn't the one who told her, but she was getting wise, you know. And she said, "These tiny little bites, did you do this?" And she said, "I want the truth." And I said, "Yes, I did that." And she got tears in her eyes. And she said, "I love you so much." And she threw her arms around me, you know, gave me this huge hug. And she said, "Thank you." And I just thought, wow, isn't that cool? You know, I appreciated that because the magic has gone so fast. And I really thought, here's this incredible group of lies that I've been perpetrating upon my children. But at the same time, I think that it's important to teach our children the concept of magic.
I agree.
And even though we do teach our children to lie to their children, which is what we're doing, I really want our children at some point in their lives to believe in magic and magical beings. I think it's so important. So religion is about magic. It really is. And I love that aspect of it. But there is a point where it becomes, for example, look at what's happening in our country today because of the overlap of religion and government. There's a problem there, and I don't want to get into that, obviously. But it has a very destructive effect at times. And look at it in the world. When we begin to, you know, allow religion to overcome the mores of people. And it's a problem. It's a real, real problem. My goodness, But magic is wonderful. True magic is not only possible, but it is absolutely just nature. I contend that magic is nothing but nature that has been not yet proven. Eclipses were once believed to be magic, and cures were once believed to be magic. My dad was an ophthalmologist on top of everything he did, everything else, and he was flabbergasted when he read some ancient Egyptian treatises that had been translated on cures they used for eye disease. And he said, oh my God, this is now known to work for eye disease.
Right.
And he said at the time it was just considered, to be magic. He said, this stuff works. It actually works. And it was considered to be magic at the time. And you just go, okay, we humans, it's just that it wasn't proven yet. It's just,
Well, and I often think about that with blood tests or even, ultrasounds or x-rays or anything. If you kind of take it out of context, it would sound very, very primitive. I'm going to take blood out of your body and I'm going to examine it. It's going to tell me something about you. And like I said, if you take it out of context and then put it in the context of primitive people, it sounds a lot like some of the things they were doing.
Right. Oh, exactly.
And yet we accept it right off. Okay, we're going to run a CBC. We're going to run this test on your blood. We're going to look at this. And it's like we accept it as scientific.
Right.
And it is. But I mean, it just sometimes it just sounds like, oh my gosh, just change a few of those words and it sounds just like what they were doing hundreds of years ago.
Well, think about tarot cards. When you say, I'm going to turn over a tarot card. And so you watch someone and they flip over a card and you think, well, that's ridiculous. You flip over a card and it's got a picture on it. How can that tell you anything? But with a seasoned tarot reader, that tarot reader has an association with that card based upon a lifetime. The card doesn't just mean a card. If they've really worked with it, that card may have thousands of meanings based upon a lifetime of work. So, take a card like the Three of Swords, sorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Well, sorrow has if you look at a thesaurus, may not have that much, but when you live a life, that it has a many different applications. Sorrow can be something very simple, like, doggone it, the trash company didn't take my trash. That irritates.
Right.
That can be a minor sorrow. It might mean something terrible has happened in your life, or it might be something just like a hangnail, it's contextual on the moment or whatever. So, and in any given situation, or it could be something like the Nine of Cups, happiness. It just really is about the moment. And when you have that, and plus it's intuition. I maintain that intuition is a remarkable thing because you can be watching a TV show and a piece of dialogue in that show suddenly, it's like it becomes illuminated. You hear it. And you go, oh my God. It happened to me last week. I was watching something on TV and someone said something and I went, that's going to happen. And it did. And that to me is how it works. It's not like, there's this musical thing and, that was not music, obviously, but, something happens and you hear it and that it just is illuminated in your mind and you go, that's intuition. I know this is going to happen. And the next day it did happen.
Yeah.
That's what makes what we do powerful. And that is the unexplainable part of what it is. And that's why I don't question it. I don't quantify it or qualify it. That's the part that can't be completely understood. And
yes. Well, here I have one for you, a little conundrum. I went outside last night, and I always go out with my dog because there's coyotes, and even though I have a fenced yard, but I was walking towards the back, and there's a deck out there, because in fact, I have a swimming pool, so there's a deck running around the swimming pool. So I am walking around that deck and just kind of looking at the perimeter when I see two what look like footprints, but of an animal. I mean, they're small, like maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 inches across. And there's only two of them, but they're wet. And this is the thing. I had a flashlight, and it's like I put my flashlight on it, and it's like there is no animal in the pool. And even if there was an animal in the pool, why would they only leave two footprints?
Right.
But the cement was wet, and it's like, I don't know, 98 degrees outside. So there's no way that wet was from much earlier in the evening. I mean, it's about 9 o'clock when this is going on, but I'll tell you what, I just kind of looked at it and I go, okay, that's one of those things that is at the moment unexplainable.
Right.
And but it really did make me wonder. I'm like, it looks like two wet footprints, but that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Now, I guess there is a small possibility. It was a duck. You know, maybe a duck splashed down into the pool and then flew out and stood there. That's possible, I guess. But it was just like, it was one of those, you know, where you kind of get tingles and going, oh my God, what is this?
Right.
Wet footprints when, like I said, when it's so hot, everything evaporates just instantly.
Right.
But I don't know. I saw a coyote on the fence this morning, so who knows?
My question is, how did you feel?
I would say very neutral, because it didn't scare me. It didn't, it was like a state of wonder. It was kind of like what you're talking with magic. I know there's an explanation for this, but I don't know what it is. And it doesn't seem to be of the material universe.
Okay.
It's so wet. That's material, you know?
Yeah.
Now, what were you going to say? What does it make you think?
It's how you feel. Now, for example, I'll give you one.
Okay.
Last week, I was getting ready to throw the trash. I was getting break down some boxes for the trash people, because they won't even take, if the lid is even up a quarter of an inch, they won't take the trash. They're so sweet. So I looked down, and there in front of my garage, right in front of the garage, was a handful of wood screws. And I thought, what in the world? And I had driven that day, but I luckily hadn't picked one up. And I realized someone had put a handful of wood screws in front of my garage, right? Wanting me to pick one up so I would get a flat tire. And I thought, And I thought, oh, God, come on. So we have a camera, you know, and because we have a security system, you know, it's not a good one, I must have say, but it works. And I picked them up, you know, and but I noticed them, and I thought, that's an old-time dirty trick. So it's someone old school. That's really old school dirty trick. Like the same thing. I had a neighbor once who put super glue in a lock in a shed that I had. And
well, so did you see anything on the security system?
I did at 4:15 in the morning. Someone had, but the camera didn't pick up the person who did it. They picked up a car shining a light in my driveway, but it didn't pick the person up. I thought, this is not a great system, you know. But so, but a minute I saw those wood screws, I felt that alarm in me that said, something's up.
Yeah.
You know? And to be very alert. So that's intuition. And you say, because the minute I saw them, I said, this is not normal. Be careful. So I've been extra alert since then. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, oh, someone's acting. Someone's obviously, and I think I know exactly who it is. And I think I know what it's about. And it's just, you know, it's not worth, because I have no proof of anything. I got, you know, now I have some wood screws I didn't have before. But it's one of those things where you go with your intuition, and it's something, certainly nothing I can prove. It's that sort of thing. But you have to follow your intuition, and it just says, be alert, be alert.
And that is excellent, Mo, really. I'm glad you said that, because that is true. That is what happened. I was like alert. I was particularly watching Tucker, where he went. I did try to make sure there was nothing in the yard. And when we went out this morning, I was more alert than usual, I'd say. You know, hadn't had my coffee, but I, you know, I was very alert, and sure enough, there was a coyote on the fence.
There you are.
So see, that maybe that's all that was for, is going, don't let your guard down, you know.
And there was the omen. That was the omen, and you were prepared. That's what it was for. You see? I'm telling you, that's how this works. That's exactly what it's for. Perfect.
Yes. All right. Well, we got 2 minutes to finish this show. Thank you so much, and I look forward to the novel that you're writing.
Yeah, I hope I get it done sooner than later. I've got, it's so much in there. I love what's happening. It's like, it's cool. Very
so
cool.
Any other announcements you want to make for the week or for this month?
Well, I'll be on the air tomorrow at 4 p.m., 3 p.m. rather, Pacific. So other than that, no, I'm just sailing along with the breeze.
Along with the breeze. There you go.
Sailing and floating, as it were. I don't float so easily anymore, but I do sail.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's also a good way to end the show, just the be alert. Not because you're afraid, but just, you know, everything is an opportunity to learn something new, to pay attention, to just not be on autopilot, you know? So
I agree.
That's a good thing. And you know, no matter what's going on in your world, you just pay attention. And just what you said too, what do you feel about it? Because most of the time, that's what's really important. What are you feeling? And if you don't like the way you feel, okay, then how could I change that?
Right.
You know? So even going back to the astrology with those connections with Chiron and even the squares going on, okay, what are you feeling and what can you do about it? So it's a good way to end the show. So Mo, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy this.
Oh, well, I do too, so much. And I realize I didn't say anything to people in the chat room. Thank you for being here. I don't have time to shout out to all of you, but I certainly see you, Renee and Tara and Kat Hall. Thank you for being here. And Alishea and Anne and K-Dragon. Hey, it's good to see you and Pamela Snow. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And maybe I missed some people, and sorry about that. Leslie, I don't know if, and Quelly, thank you for being here today. And by the way, I just want to say this really quick. You know, I've been having issues with Facebook, so I did file, I guess what it is, you know, a request for them to honor, you know, or to put my account back, and they did it right away. It was like, yeah, sure, hey, you're right, you know, they didn't say this wasn't fair, they just said, oh yeah, it's been reinstated. So but then the next time I got on Facebook and liked something, all I had to do is hit like, then they banned me again. So I know that there is some algorithm in there that they don't like me liking things, and I'm not quite sure what that's about. I must be on some secret, you know, list or something. They don't like what I'm liking, but you know, what's not to like here? But in any case, I'm just going to persevere and just see what'll happen if I just kind of keep working with it. But I think there is a glitch in the software, and hopefully it'll get fixed, and I won't be banned forever. Okay, so I can see your comments, I just can't like them. All right, but knowing my heart, I like them. All right, everybody, thank you for being here today. Thanks to Jay Varvel, who is our producer. And stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next. However, we have changed our meeting of the minds when we do a show together till next week, till June 18th. So we will be together then. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.